This is the October 1st meeting of the Pacifica National Board Governance Committee. I'm the chair. Going to call the roll. Sharam Agamir. Lydia Brazan.
Present.
That was Sharam. Okay. Lydia Brazan.
Present. Yes.
Mal Bernstein.
Yes.
Vanessa Dixon Briggs. Nancy Henschel. Bob Lederer.
Here.
Pat Logan.
Here.
Tony Norman.
Present.
Myself. Lawrence Reyes.
Here.
Manager Saba. Tracy Rosenberg said she's in the personnel. Saba. Gina Pratak. John Wenger.
Here.
Jane Zara.
Here.
Okay. I thought I had posted an agenda, but I don't see it, and I'm not sure. I do remember there were several things that need to be on it. Lawrence, you had an item that you wanted postponed till now. Do you want to put that back on the agenda?
No, it's okay. Keep it postponed for now, please.
Okay. Bob, you had the convening the work group on the program council, and I know you have a resolution on that. So we'll put that on the agenda.
Okay.
There are minutes which I sent out, I guess, the day after the last meeting. I would like to get those approved. Is there any other items for the agenda? I'd like a report back as to what's happening with the elections.
I thought they were postponed till next year.
Well, I'd like to hear it from the PNB members. It was rather confusing at the last LSB meeting, so I don't really know what's happened. We had a couple of resolutions about that I'd also like to know what happened to those.
Yeah. Well, I support that inquiry.
That's basically a report, if we can get one. Is there anything else? Anything else anybody wants to put on?
This may be for a future agenda. I don't know how, because it's a new topic. I'd like to know, this is Jane Zare, what the process is as to the PNB attributing funds to legal defense for lawsuits involving Pacifica and its affiliates.
Let's put it on the agenda. I'm not sure we can answer the question, but there's no reason not to consider it.
George?
Yeah.
Would you add me to the queue as well? I have an item. I'd like to discuss and propose a resolution, a motion, regarding what to do if we don't have elections this year and instead wait until next year. My motion will be.
Well, I'll put that in. I'll put that in the discussion on elections, and you can bring the motion up at that time.
That'd be fine.
Is there anything else anybody wants to put on?
Could you just add that Vanessa just joined the call?
Hi, Vanessa.
Hey, how are you guys?
You just wanted me to note that you're here.
That's it. Yeah.
Got it. Okay, well, going once, going twice, hearing no other suggestions, then I'd like to get the minutes approved. We'll consider the report back from the work group on the program council resolution, discussion on elections, and a discussion on Pacifica legal expenses. On the minutes, as I said, I sent them out the day after the last meeting. I can send them out again, but is there any objection to the minutes? Okay, good. Hearing none, the minutes are approved. The next item is the report back from the work group. Bob, are you gonna lead that or?
Yes.
Okay. So go ahead.
Okay. Thanks. Let me first ask: did everyone on this call get the report that I posted? I think it was on Sunday, I think it was Friday. In any case, did anyone not get it? Let me ask it that way. Oh, good. Okay, because one person had told me that they didn't get it, so I sent it to them. All right, good. So, just to recap, at the last meeting of the committee, we voted to form a working group to examine the motion that the PNB passed in January of this year to mandate a particular structure for, well, first of all, to mandate that all five stations must have a program council to advise the program director on programming decisions and, in some cases, to have an appeal process for both, individual programmers and the council as a whole. It must exist at all five stations, and then the motion was very specific about the structure and the proportion of members from different sectors. The working group's task was to look at that motion and see if it needed further thought and amendments to make it, look at maybe issues that vary from station to station or whatever, anything that might be improved in the motion. So four of us had that meeting. That was Vanessa Dixon-Briggs, Jane Zara, Lawrence Reyes, and myself last, I think it was Friday night. And after some discussion, we came up with two basic types of amendments that we wanted to propose to the committee to then propose to the PNB. Before I do the text, let me give the explanation so it has a context. One of the issues that the bylaws addresses through in two sections, one is under the LSB powers. There's a clause about ensuring diversity in programming as well as in staffing at the station. And then in the section about an oft-neglected grouping within Pacifica, which is called the Committees of Inclusion, which are supposed to be elected by all five LSBs, but often haven't been, or if they have been, they've been inactive. And their job is to look at underrepresentation of communities, again, within Pacifica programming, staffing, the boards itself, to look at the electoral process, et cetera. So in the spirit of those sections of the bylaws and in the spirit of what Pacifica stands for more broadly, we thought it was important to mandate that the program councils at all five stations have at least a minimum of representation of underrepresented communities. So that's the basic principle, and now I'll read the language. This would be a two new sentences inserted in. Let me read it in context of the old, the first sentence that we only had a correction because there was a misstated term. It said the composition of the committee, and really it should change to read the composition of the program council, shall consist of 1/3 staff selected by STB election, 1/3 members of the LSB, also selected by an STB election, and 1/3 listeners approved jointly by the LSB and the program director by a procedure satisfactory to both. Then the new part would read, as per Article 7, Section 3J and 3L of the Pacifica Bylaws, parenthesis LSB powers and duties, and Article 8, Section 4, Committees of Inclusion, LSBs and program directors shall work to ensure inclusion of underrepresented communities in electing/choosing council members, at least including, so meaning this is not meant to be an exhaustive list, So it's just a sort of a bedrock minimum, at least including women, people of color, Spanish-speaking Latinos and Latinas, LGBT people, and people under 25. This can include the use of staggered elections, i.e. holding the staff election first, and set-aside seats as deemed necessary by the LSB and program director. Because remember, just to go back to that, you know, the original procedure that we're not in any way proposing to alter, is that one-third of the board, one-third of the council would be jointly selected by the LSB and the program director. So this is saying when that joint process happens, they should take diversity into account and decide whether they need a special process like set-aside seats or some other process to accomplish that. And then just to finish off the paragraph in the original motion, which we didn't say should change, term shall be for the maximum of 2 years, or for an LSB member, the term on the LSB, whichever is less. So that's the first significant change we're proposing. The second one is to add a new clause at the end to account for the fact that at different times, some stations have had program councils that actually were the product of an agreement between the unpaid staff and management. And in the case of, well, and those are historically has been KPFA and WBAI. Now, I'm not, well, actually, Sharam is on this call, so he could speak to the reality at KPFA. So I don't know the details. But at WBAI, there was a contract first with the combined union of paid and unpaid staff for about 20 years. And then when that got broken up into two separate unions, the unpaid staff union continued the same terms of the contract that mandated a program council with a fixed structure that was made up of entirely of staff and paid and unpaid staff and management. So what this final clause is saying is that where there's and now that agreement has been completely disregarded by management for the past 4 years, but that's a separate issue. The agreement still exists. So this motion would say where it exists, honor it, but ensure that listeners have a seat at the table. So let me read the text. However, this is where it would start. However, notwithstanding the preceding, at stations where there are pre-existing agreements between staff and management as to program council composition, those shall be observed with the addition of at least one-third of the members, if not already present, being listeners elected by the LSB. That's it. I'll stop. We should discuss this in two separate parts to make the conversation more
clear. That's right. Well, let's divide the question.
Yeah.
There's no objection, and discuss the first part first. Which
John Wenger to the queue, please.
Yeah, okay, John.
Yeah, and I guess maybe it might be classified as an objection. I have a terrible problem with this entire motion because I see it as an attempt over time for the employees at stations to take over the stations and control all the programming. So, for example, I strenuously object to the program director since he already has. He's the total decider. He's George Bush to the max. He gets to decide everything. So to have him be involved in the shaping of the board, which is advisory to him, is a conflict of interest. The board should be advisory to him and should be independent of him. So that's the first small objection. The second thing is that the people that are underrepresented in programming are the LSB and the listeners. The employees, the staff, tend to be people who are programmers or friends of programmers or know about programmers. And basically, over time, Pacifica is moving toward transfer of the station to the employees, which were composed by the management staff and the working staff. So this is a power grab. And number three, it is the proportions are wrong because right now, for representative government, such as we have it on the LSBs, three-quarter of the representation is nominally to the listeners, one-quarter to the staff. This motion, passed by the PNB, gives one-third of the control of programming to the programmers. Now, across the network, we have stale programming. People have had programs for 20 and 30 years and bequeathing them when they die to their children and that sort of stuff. We have stale programming. So this motion consolidates the control of programming by the staff. And I support giving control of the programming to maybe entirely to the listeners, maybe half and half between the LSB, maybe two-thirds to the listeners and one-third to the LSB, not one penny to the staff. The staff should be advisory and have votes, should have voice, but not votes. We need their expertise. We do not need their control because they're already controlling the programming. Collectively, the employees, the manager, the programming director, and the rest of the employees more or less control the programming, and the problem is stale programming, and listeners have no voice whatsoever. And the LSB has no voice. At KPFK, our programming director has said in the past, and I had an email, he said it's inappropriate for LSB members to even approach him, talk to him about programming. So we have a king. We have King George Bush, known as Alan Minsky in L.A., who is the supreme decider. So there's three objections. I would like to comment.
Anyone else want to? Now, let me say that what's on the table is not the original motion. The table is what came back from the working group, which is the first part, which speaks to seeing to it that the council members are diverse.
Well, I agree it's not on the table, but it sure ought to be. I move to place it on the table or to create a substitute. I move a substitute motion that this whole thing be revisited because the action of the PNB was very poorly considered and I believe implicitly violates the bylaws because of the three-quarter, one-quarter rule of representation.
Do you want to make a substitute motion to for the governance committee to recommend that the PNB reconsider the entire motion?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Question.
Yes.
You want to, when you say reconsider the entire motion? Hello.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Laura is back.
Yes. Hi. I'm sorry. This is.
Who's speaking?
This is Vanessa trying to speak.
Hi, Vanessa. Go ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to get some clarification. When the person says that they want to reconsider the entire motion, are they referring to the one that Bob just read that was done by the subcommittee or the original one by the PNB?
He's speaking about the original one by the PNB.
Well, that's what the committee just... I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry. That was my question.
Lawrence, back.
Yes. The committee last meeting decided not to do that, but I think it's in order to put it on the agenda, so to make a motion like that. So there it is. And that's actually what's... as a substitute motion, you can discuss either the original motion or the substitute as you prefer. But we'll vote on the substitute first. Go ahead, Lawrence.
I understand John's concerns because I live in Los Angeles too, and I'm on the KPFK local station board, and I see that the programming not only failed, but it's being breached. It's becoming, excuse the expression, more Eurocentric and less Afrocentric and less centric in terms of represented communities or underrepresented communities. I understand John's concerns in terms of the bylaws and the 3/4 to 1/4 rule. So I think, John, this is an opportunity for us to be able to check the power of the program director in terms of what kind of changes, because it's going to reflect the new voices in the community that are essentially locked out because of the entrenchment of programmers. So, I'd like you to consider what the working group came up with before you substitute the original motion, because we moved on from the original motion, so I don't know if that's even in order, Bob, George, to consider a substitute motion when we already have one that's been approved, than one that the committee empower a working group to take a look at. So I don't know if that substitutes in order right now. I understand John's concerns, and I empathize with them, but at this point, I don't know if that's really in order. So I could be wrong. Thank you.
I think it's inadvised, but I don't think it's out of order. We're discussing an amendment to that proposal, or suggesting an amendment to that, to that motion that was passed. And John is suggesting a much more broad amendment, which is to reconsider the whole thing. So I'm going to rule it in order. I don't agree with it. I don't think we should. I think we should just. I agree really with what you just said, Lawrence, about the real intent of that motion. But I think it's in order to leave it on there, and we can take a vote on it if
okay.
Any time.
Could I speak? This is Jane. There.
Go ahead, Jane.
I agree with maybe three or four speakers ago where we could bifurcate the vote. We could approve the amendments that were just proposed, and then also propose in a separate meeting or whatever to a proposal to revisit the substantive issues that were addressed.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I'm having trouble hearing. Maybe
me too. I can almost not hear anything. There's horrible background noise going on.
Yeah. Can whoever is outdoors mute their phone?
Yeah, I hear a kind of light background conversation going somewhere. Jane, would you say that again? It really didn't come across.
Briefly, I agree with the speaker maybe three or four speakers ago where we should bifurcate the votes and approve the amendments that were proposed by Bob of the subcommittee of the committee regarding what the role of the LSD and the powers of the LSD are and the other amendment, and then in a separate proposal to vote on whether or not we should revisit the substantive issues of the representation and the powers of the programmers.
Well, Jane, the way it's set up now, as a substitute motion, we'll vote on whether to do that first. And if that passes, we won't be able to get to the other things at all. However, it can be voted down and reintroduced later on as its own standing motion if people want to do that. Was that clear? In other words, if we vote on the substitute motion first, then and it passes, then it replaces everything else that was there. So there's no further discussion on what the working group brought back. If it fails, it can be reintroduced later if people want to do that.
But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the vote to pass the amendments that we just proposed as a subgroup. I'm talking about in a separate issue to revisit the substantive issues that have been brought up.
What I'm suggesting is that the procedure that's needed if you want to do that, if you want to pass this working group proposal, you have to vote down the substitute motion first. You can then reintroduce whatever substantive issues you want. Is that clear?
I guess. I mean, I don't understand why, but I mean, I'm willing to vote for the amendments that we just produced. But
it's just the way Robert's rules work.
Revisit the substantive issues of the powers of the program.
It's just the way Robert's rules works. That's the way it goes.
George, I have a comment about the noise.
Yes.
This is what I observe. I didn't catch the name of the woman you were just speaking with, but when she's speaking, there I don't hear the noise. But when she's not speaking, and in contrast you are speaking, then I hear the background noise, which sounds like, you know, a conversation in the background, like a radio program or just some people talking in a room. So that's my
observation. The conversation in the background is an echo. It's actually re-repeat. It's an echo. So
okay.
What was just said is being repeated.
Got it. Okay.
Well, we can fix it probably by if it's a little inconvenient because people will forget where we are in the process, but if you do #1, you'll be muted. And, you know, except for the person speaking, we could all be muted. Still hasn't fixed it, so somebody else needs to mute themselves.
I think it's your phone, George.
Could be. There's no background conversation here, but...
No, but it's an echo. It only happens when you're speaking, as John just said.
I'm gonna mute myself for a minute and come back on again in just a second. Actually, I don't need to come back on. I'm gonna mute myself and you tell me what happens with the little voice in the background.
Yeah,
went away.
Went away.
Yeah, and in fact, we heard your voice when you stopped talking. We heard the very same words you just said, like the voice in the background.
You can come back now.
Yeah, George, come back.
Okay, I'm back.
Oh, it's gone. Good.
It's gone. Okay. I'm using a different phone.
Good.
Oh, great.
Okay, good. Glad we got that figured out. Is there anyone else that wants to speak to these, to either the working group proposal or the substitute motion that John Wenger proposed?
Could someone, this is Vanessa, if somebody could do a summary, I'm not completely clear. I hear the points that the other person was making. I agree with the person's point overall in terms of the LSB being more included in the process. We have the same, in my opinion, we have the same problem at PFW, that the GM, who's now on administrative leave, but that GM basically just excluded in any way, shape, form, or fashion, you know, input from the LSB, even in as much as, you know, just developing a process for changing the programming, especially given that so
point
much...
Point of order.
Yes?
I'm sorry. What's the point of order?
This is Tony. I think that making those kind of personal attacks on
Oh, for God's sake. Tony, give it a
manager
rest.
Manager that's incorrect and putting that out on the stream is really out of order.
Whatever. Okay, so my general point...
References.
Yeah, right, okay. So I agree with the general point made, which was a point I just made, about the role of an LSB. And so I wasn't clear as to why the speaker thinks that the original motion or the substitute motion, the one that was created by the subcommittee, how that impacts the power of the LSB.
Okay. Go ahead, John.
Yeah. If we pass the amendments proposed by Bob Lederer and the working group, then it reifies, it just modifies, and then makes real the motion that was put out by the PNB, which I think is fundamentally flawed in the first place. So I think it's sort of like, you know, they say that in the South, they say that dog won't hunt. You know, it's like brushing the dog's hair. They know the dog won't hunt anyhow, so you have a prettier dog that won't hunt. It's a time we'd be better spent fixing the problem. The real problem is that at least in Los Angeles, our program director is on record as saying that he doesn't even accept, doesn't think it's appropriate for the LSB to even approach him about ideas for programming. And he has his own separate group that he formed of his own personal advisors, handpicked, highly biased, and that gives him input. There is no way for the listeners in KPFK to give input to the process other than talking to him, the sole decider, or the LSB, which the program director will not listen to, or get into the program director's private club. So the listeners are excluded and horrible.
John, I feel I need to speak at this point.
Can I get on
the programming committee met for a prolonged period of time, and its purpose in putting together this program council was precisely to see to it that there was a vehicle by which LSB members and listeners could participate in programming. Sure. And so it is an attempt to do what you say you want to do, which is to say
to not have the program director simply the king. The motion,
well, then let me tell you.
The motion's intent is precisely what you say you want. So I don't understand really why you think that this shifts power somehow to the staff. And if
let me explain. The answer is, and here's my remedy. The remedy would be to strike the voting of any staff member. That includes the programming director and any other staff member, any other employee. Or even a volunteer staff person. Once you're a staff person, you have the inherent conflict of interest. People should not be voting on their own jobs, and that's an inherent conflict of interest. So strike all the staff in terms of representation. They don't get to vote. They do get to speak. We invite them to speak as much as possible because we want their intelligence, but we don't want their control of themselves. So simply strike it and make it simply half LSB and half listeners, or any other ratio, but no staff, period. And that includes programming director. That will make it better.
Does anyone else want to speak to this?
Pat.
Yeah, I would like to. Can you hear me?
Pat, we can't hear you. Anybody else?
I'm Bob.
Bob, anybody else? Go ahead, Pat.
Wait, what about, I thought I was on the stack. This is Jane.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jane. You were after Lawrence. Good. Jane, then Pat, then Bob.
Okay. I have to say we're at a bit of a quandary at PFW. Personally speaking, my analysis is that, and Vanessa may or may not agree with me, but there hasn't been a program director at PFW for quite a while, and it's been a sort of a revolving door. And what we see now is the superimposition of staff by the national office, not of local talent, but a superimposition, and we really, the LSB has had no input, and the public has had no input as to evaluating the credentials, you know, of people that are superimposed. So, you know, personally speaking, I can't really weigh in on that because unless we visit the process of how a program director is appointed at each affiliate, you know, we really can't say how that reflects any democratic process. So I think the whole thing is flawed. In terms of the amendments we proposed, I vote that we should move forward. I suggest we should move forward and affirm them, and maybe putting a Band-Aid on a tumor, because it may be that the representation that has been pointed out by John is extremely flawed. I'm not sure about it precluding or excluding staff. I really don't think that staff should not have a say, but maybe the whole waiting process has to be revisited, and maybe this is the crack, you know, the open door, the crack in the door that allows us to bring that to the forefront right now. I don't know. I think it requires further discussion. I think the amendments are good in terms of defining what the LSB should use as objective standards and what's empowered by the bylaws. I'm not saying it precludes any other part of the bylaws that might empower the LSB to weigh in, but it certainly does define their objective standards rather than some sort of petty stuff. And I applaud, you know, Bob's amendments and his work. But I think the larger issues that are being brought to light are worthy of further discussion. Anyway.
Okay. Pat?
Okay. First of all, I think that we cannot recommend changing this whole motion that was passed by the PNB just because there are problems at one station, because it's going to affect all the stations. And if all the stations do not have the same problem or the same intensity of problem, that, you know, it would be a wrong thing to do. Second of all, I think that it sounds like at KPFK, it's the management that's out of control. So I don't understand why it would make sense to keep the staff from having a voice in programming when it's the management in this particular case that sounds like it's out of control. I mean, I think the staff definitely deserves to be represented because they're the ones that do the programming. They're the ones that understand radio best. They're the ones that have the technical expertise. I think they should have a say, and I think that this this motion as it presently constituted gives them one-third a representation and the LSB one-third, the listeners one-third. So I think that at least 50%, if not more, representation is to listeners, and I think it's good. It's certainly a far better idea than what we've had previously at WBAI, where management and staff had almost total representation about programming.
Okay. Bob?
Well, I agree with part of what Pat just said. I'm not going to reiterate all of her reasons why staff absolutely should have a seat at the table. I think a very significant seat. You know, all the factors about the knowledge of programming, the technical expertise, the experience, their voice is valuable, and there's absolutely no conflict of interest. These are either people, well, in the case of BAI, before management just dismissed the council 4 years ago, this was a mix of people who were unpaid, so there's no conflict. They're not advocating that they get money, that they get a salary. They're advocating that this show or that show would be a good addition to the schedule or should be moved to a different time or, you know, should get 90 minutes instead of 60 minutes or whatever, or, you know, some brand new thing should be brought in. So there's no conflict of interest there. But there is, I think, a value added by having these folks at the table. And ultimately, program directors are, for good or for ill, and, you know, I've heard about and seen PDs around the network that I thought made very bad decisions, but ultimately, you can't override a management person from making a decision about what their job description is. But you can do what this motion does and what we've had at BAI, what we had at BAI until it was abolished 4 years ago, and what I think may exist at KPFA, and maybe Sharam can tell us, is a council that has strong input before the decision is made. And so I think that part of the motion is positive and should be upheld, and with the expansions that our working group is proposing to ensure diversity, and then the other point that we'll get to later. So that's it.
Anyone else want to speak to this?
Yes.
Who is that?
Al.
Al, go ahead.
For those of you who may not know it, I'm at KPFA, so there are two of us who can speak about...
Sorry about that, Mal.
Yeah, well, that's okay, Bob. I was elected to the LSB on the basis of who I am, but not on the basis that I know a damn thing about programming. Personally, I think it is a grave mistake to vest any of this authority in the LSBs. None of us were elected on any basis whatsoever that we know about programming. The listeners are the ultimate authority in that they can stop listening and stop paying if they don't like the programming. You don't have to have a tiny selection of the listeners to tell you what is good programming and what is not. Ever since Pacifica became a reality, the listeners have voted with their dollars. And I think it should stay that way. And I can't think of a less relevant or decent thing than to have the listeners keep their vote with their money slot and not have one or two of them elected by an LSD who doesn't know their background or what their values are. So I'm not for anything that we have before us or that the PNB did. None of it makes any sense. That's it.
John, into the queue, please.
Vanessa to the stack as well, please.
Okay, anyone who hasn't spoken yet would like to speak. Okay, John and then Vanessa.
Yeah, with regard to Mel's comments, he's right, and he's half right in the sense that he's 100% right on half of the issue. Namely, the listeners right now are the ultimate authority insofar as they get to withhold their listening at all, and they also get to withhold their support of the station financially. So they can vote with their radio dial and with their pocketbook by just not voting no for certain things. They can fail to support by not listening, and they can fail to support by not paying. However, the converse is not true. They cannot affirmatively support. So, for example, if they wanted a program, somebody controversial like Gary Null, they don't have a chance to weigh in and to, except during fund drive. That's the only time. And fund drive is a reasonable metric. But in general, if there's a new program, somebody that's not covered, I don't know what do we not cover? We don't cover, We don't cover...
We don't cover most community events in D.C.
Okay, there we go. So if somebody wanted to, in D.C., in L.A., I think it's a good idea that you cover them, but it's not a burning issue for me. But if somebody in D.C. wanted to put up some money and on a website and say, I pledge $1,000 so we'll have coverage of community events in D.C. And start a list, and people would start contributing to a program, affirmatively contributing, and saying that if you had a program, I would listen to it, and furthermore, I'm backing up my desire with my wallet, and here's some money that I pledge for the future if we get the requisite, whatever we need, $10,000, say. And so if the listeners could do that, then Matt would be 100% right, because it would be both possible to do it affirmatively and negatively. So that would be great, and I support the putting the listeners more in control, because I agree they are ultimately, the bottom line, they are our customers. So let's do that, and let's move toward that. That would be a way to implement the desire to have the people, the listeners, our ultimate customers, the reason why we're there, to get involved in an affirmative way. Right now, they can only say, "Well, the programming now stinks. So I'm not going to listen to them anymore. They've gone down the toilet. Forget them." We don't have any affirmative way for listeners to give input. And the suggestion by the PNB is frankly just a band-aid, as the lady said, a band-aid on a tumor. It's just too little, and it's inconsequential, and it just won't do much. So if we want to do something, let's strike radically at the root of the problem and find something that will actually generate a solution. So my suggestion would be something creating a situation on a website and these ideas could go into these programming council. However, the programming councils ultimately are implemented, there should be this ability for the listeners to put things in affirmatively, and not just a few elected people, but all the totality of all the listeners. So let's make it possible to have broad-based listener support. What we have right now is a band-aid on a tumor, and that dog won't hunt. It's just no good.
Vanessa. Vanessa? Are you muted?
I'm sorry. I was muted. I'm so sorry. I was talking unmuted. Okay. So the last time we met, there was discussion about this original PNB motion, which to me created a structure to allow input from the LSB, which at certain stations is being disallowed by either the PD or the GM or whomever, but the LSB just has no role in this by proclamation from some management person. And so I agreed from the beginning with that PMB motion. I don't know if it's a Band-Aid on a tumor or whatever, but I agree with, in principle, with having a structure that can be pointed to so that certain management officials cannot be the judge, jury, and executioner of programming. And so, in principle, I disagreed with the subcommittee forming, but I wanted to see what the subcommittee would do, and so I wanted to be a part of that. So subcommittee has come up with what it's come up with. I will just kind of defer to my fellow board member, Jane Zara, because when we met on late Sunday night, I had 55 other things going on, and so I really did rely on Jane's rationale and reasoning, not to dump it on her, but just to say I defer to her judgment on this. And so we have the original PMB motion, and now we have the working group has come up with something that at least seems to try to be improve on the original PMB motion. And so just in terms of, very quickly, in terms of the specific points that were made, I do agree that programmers should be included. They have a level of expertise that I just don't have. Maybe some other members of the LSB do, but just having a program for, you know, that period of time just allows an accumulation, a fund of knowledge about programming in general, about radio stations in general, about the our audiences in general, that I can touch on, but I just don't have. And I think it's generally true that other LSB members in general don't have that information either. But I don't think that the LSB should be disincluded. I absolutely positively think because we're elected in a representative role, that we absolutely should not make decisions, not dictate, but be part of a process. And certainly if someone in management, the PD or the GM, whomever is serving that programming role, is doing something that the LSB or LSB members consider to be harmful to the station, then the LSB absolutely should have a role in that. But I'd rather for the LSB to have a role in it proactively rather than reactively. Because once we can say, fine, if the listeners don't like what the decisions makers have done about programming, they can walk with their dollars. Well, at PFW, that's what they're doing. They're walking with their dollars. And that may not be the only reason, but it's certainly, I believe firmly, is definitely one of the reasons there. There's tons of evidence, town hall meetings and a group that formed and website and all sorts of stuff that can be pointed to say that the listeners are pissed off. And they're walking. They're just like, what's the point? So much programming was changed so drastically without any process or such little progress that it seemed to be none. And so then you lose the listeners. So I guess I'm saying it in a different way than the person who preceded me saying it. Says the same thing, which is to allow the listeners to have an opportunity to have input in the process in an affirmative way, rather than saying they can walk with their dollars. And then the problem is they do walk with their dollars, and then they're gone. So I oppose anything that would do away or otherwise further change that original PMB motion, which I think the intent of is to try to be more inclusive of the LSB and to do it in a structured way so that listeners predominate that process. So I definitely don't want it to go back for any further consideration.
Okay. Anyone else who hasn't spoken would like to speak? Okay. I do want to say that I basically agree with what Vanessa just said. This was an attempt to implement what the bylaws say, which is to say that there should be a collaborative relationship between the LSB and management in terms of determining programming. And it seems to me that it's it's a reasonable beginning. Let me say, I know from having participated in negotiations to try to get it implemented at KPFT that management is not so happy with it. That the holding on to the control is sort of part and parcel of the job, I think. But I think we can. But this was a first step, and the board, after many discussions, after two votes, finally produced something to move in that direction, to resolve some of these political problems. And I do not want to see it just opened up again altogether. So I'm going to vote against the substitute motion, and I'm going to vote for the working group proposal, the first part anyway. But I'd like to call it for a vote. So the way it works is we take a vote first on the substitute. And, John, would you like to state it again?
And think.
Well, let me say it and see if you agree. Basically, the substitute is that we forget about what the working group did, and we reopen the whole case for whether the proposal, the PNB motion, should be reconsidered altogether. Is that correct?
No.
Okay.
No, I would say that the thrust of my motion is to empower the listeners and to remove vote but not voice from the staff, and by staff I mean employee, anybody with a salary who has a potential conflict of interest. So any paid employee of Pacifica shall not vote but may speak in the in these programming councils.
So Vanessa, point of information. So John, if I'm understanding it, the intent of your motion is to do what you said, but the net effect of your motion would be to do as the chair stated.
Well, not really, because we are a committee of the PNB, and therefore we can respond and condition and try to improve their motion. They've got a motion on the floor. I propose to improve it by eliminating the potential for conflict of interest of employees by allowing employees to participate in programming council decisions, but not to vote.
Okay, so what I hear you saying,
not to vote.
Saying now is that your substitute motion would replace what came from the working group with a motion which would eliminate the participation in the program council by the staff. Is that correct?
No, eliminate voting, but not speaking.
Pat.
And by the staff, I mean we can have input. I solicit their voice and their intelligence of all employees, but I wish to
okay, so
them from voting because they have a salary.
Okay, so this is a much narrower motion than I thought you were making.
I've been listening to the discussion, and I really think that the issue, the meta issue, which hasn't, I said it once, but I'll repeat it. The meta issue is that there's a move afoot for listener sponsored governorship to go away and to be replaced with something else, and it's probably going to involve the employees' control of the stations. And I'm happy for the employees, because they have a salary and they have the knowledge of the inner workings to give voice and counsel and intelligence to the whole thing. But they should not vote because they have a structural conflict of interest because they get a salary. So because of that structural conflict of interest,
John, please, you don't have to make the argument again. I'm just trying to get clear what your motion is, and what I get your motion is. Is not as what I thought it was at the beginning, which is that we reconsider the motion passed by the PNB as a whole. Your motion is, and I'm going to allow that it's not what you said to begin with. But the motion that you want considered now is that we should remove the staff having any participation on this council other than they can show up and talk if they want. Is that correct?
Yeah, they can speak but not vote.
Okay, good. Pat, go ahead.
Okay, there's, I mean, in some cases you're saying staff, and in other cases you're saying paid staff. In other cases you're saying employees. Now, most of the staff of WBAI and most of the staff, I gather, of all the stations is unpaid staff. So you should clarify in this motion if you're saying disallow the votes of paid staff, and you should say something about unpaid staff because it's a big category of people involved in this programming situation.
I really mean employees. That includes the paid staff and the management, including the programming director.
If you don't put unpaid staff, if you don't mention something about it, it leaves it sort of in limbo.
Oh, listen, Jeff, fine. Unpaid staff are invited to vote.
Pat, please, just a moment. I'm not going to allow this motion to be changed at all. From now on, the motion is, as he just said it, which is that you want to remove staff from the program council and they can show up and participate by speaking, but they can't have a vote. That's what I get was the motion. We can't keep on rolling it back and rolling it back and rolling it back.
This is Lydia.
Go ahead, Lydia.
But what I heard him say over and over and over again was the conflict of interest was based on it being a paid staff, which is the reason that CFO and ED aren't supposed to vote on the PMB. So this is not new. Or the GM can't vote, you know, because they're managers and stuff. It's not just because they're managers. But anyway, we have had legal counsel on this before the bylaws were passed. And most counsel said we could do it. We could have paid staff on our board, but that it's highly inadvisable. But I think that he has made that part of the motion clear. It's paid staff only. And that's consistent with the language in the bylaws, whether it's paid or unpaid. I understand the other members' issue, but I think he's made it clear about it being paid.
Yeah. And that includes the programming director, too.
Voice, no vote. That's it.
Point of information?
Yep. Go ahead, Bob.
It's to Lydia. Based on what you just said, do you support the substitute motion?
Do I support what John Wenger just said? Yes, but I missed most of the motivation for what came out of the working group. I did read it, although was slightly confused, but nevertheless, I would have preferred this be an amendment. But there you go.
Okay, so George, I'd like to speak.
Go ahead, Bob.
Okay, now that it's clear exactly what the substitute motion is, I am very much opposed to it because I think that there is no possible way to interpret an advisory council that has no ultimate decision-making power to have a conflict of interest. Because they don't have the power to determine anything. They can't approve. They can't direct one penny of a station's money to go to this program or that program. That's number one. Number two is that I sat on the program council as an unpaid staff person at WBAI 10 years ago. And the discussion very rarely had anything to do with any of the paid programmers. It was, you know, at that time, I think 80 or 85% of our program schedule was produced by unpaid people. And that's what 85 to 90% of the discussion in the program council was about. Well, you know, this show, should it be moved? Should it be shrunk? Should we bring in a brand new unpaid person? Blah, blah, blah. So the vast amount of it has nothing to do with the people being paid in terms of personal interest. And the final point is, even on those rare occasions, which never happened when I was there for 2 years, but I'm saying hypothetically in the future, let's say I was the host, the paid host of the morning show, and the program council had a discussion, do we think the morning show should be shrunk, you know, from 2 hours to 90 minutes, then you can make an argument that at that point on that issue, that programmer who sits as an elected representative of the rest of the staff on the council should recuse her or himself from that particular vote. That's done all the time in all kinds of nonprofits. Does not mean you disenfranchise them as a class from having any say in the broad decisions about what's prudent for the state. Or, let me correct myself, it's not a decision. The broad recommendations, which are not decisions, about, you know, what's the best programming mix to put on the air. So I am strongly opposed to this motion.